Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight. Walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away is the bluebird. Here to stay is a new bird. He sings a love song as we stroll along. Walking in a winter wonderland. In the meadow we can build a snowman. Then pretend that he is Parson Brown. He'll say, are you married? We'll say, no, man. I bet you can do the job when you're in town. Later on, we'll conspire as we dream by the fire. To face unafraid the plans we made, walking in a winter wonderland. Can build a snowman, then pretend that he is Parson Brown. He'll say, I am married, we'll say, no, man. But you can do the job when you're in town. Later on, we'll conspire as we dream by the fire. To face unafraid all the plans we made, walking away. Face unafraid all the plans we made, walking in a winter wonderland. Face unafraid the plans we made, walking in a winter wonderland.
Welcome to the Broadway Radio Show. I'm Donald Feltham, and I'm very excited because we have a special bonus holiday episode, and I'm welcoming back Richard Shelton. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Donald. Hi.
Last time you were here, because I looked it up, was April in 2022, believe it or not.
It's just incredible.
Like 3.5 years ago.
Yeah.
And you are here because you have a brand new album, a holiday album out called A Swinging Christmas.
That's it. Yes.
And it is going to be released on Friday, November 28th.
Yes.
Right after Thanksgiving.
Yes.
That's right. Just perfect time for holiday gifting.
Yes.
Which is good. I know you've been really busy the last few years with a lot of touring and putting together your Sinatra Raw show. Mm. But what was the motivation to do a holiday album this year? Because I know you and I had talked about it because you and I are friends, so we do communicate, and we've been in communication since you were last on. And I know that you had talked about putting together a holiday album. What was the motivation to get a holiday album put together?
Well, I mean, I had, from when I used to do work on the jazz circuit, I had a huge collection of Christmas arrangements that, you know, once a year you wheel them out and you look at them and blow the dust off them. And then you try and remember how they go. And actually, as time goes by, you realize keys need lowering. So, I used to do a little high for me. But I'd always meant to record a Christmas album and just never quite got around to it. So anyway, look, I called up some fellow musicians and said, I just want to make this Christmas record. Let's just get in the studio and put it down and see what we get. And it was, the thing is with Christmas, it's such a dreamlike time of year where we all revert to the child within us. And we had such fun doing it. You know, it's a delightful endeavor. It really is.
Yeah. And I wanted to find out, because you're so well known for your Sinatra-inspired shows, talk about how this sort of relates to that, because it's not technically a Sinatra album. It's Richard Shelton holiday album, but it's sort of the same style, genre. I mean, a lot of your music is sort of inspired from that particular era and that style of music. So talk about how it all kind of blends together.
Well, I started to, before I played Sinatra, I played portrayed Sinatra in two dramas. The first was Rat Pack Confidential, which was a look behind the blue eyes of Sinatra. And then the five guys in the Rat Pack, so Frank Dean, Sammy, Joey Bishop, and Peter Lawford, those two often get forgotten. But it was a dark, dark expose of those five men and what really went on behind the martini glasses and the cocktails and then, you know, delved into the mafia allegations. And it was a troubled expose, if you like, of all that glitters is not gold, you know. And as an actor, that was tremendous. So when it came to performing the songs, when it came to singing, I had to tweak what's naturally there. So my voice, what I'm saying is, it naturally sits in the same register and the same tone as Sinatra. But as an actor, I had to tweak those muscles, if you like, and breathe slightly differently. So it wasn't a huge technical stretch to get into that realm. But obviously there was a big influence. I remember being 14 and being mesmerized by Frank Sinatra, listening to the My Way album, you know, back in England. What then came was Sinatra Raw. That was the second drama. And, you know, portraying him as an older guy when he was disillusioned. I mean, it's the storytelling quality that really draws me to the material. So when it comes to doing something like this, a Christmas record, which is me, it's just me, it's not me being Sinatra or aping Sinatra. I just let go of all of that and let the material talk. I suspect that's exactly what Frank Sinatra would say. You let the material talk. Good singing to me isn't necessarily about hitting all the right notes in the right order, you know. It's about telling the truth of the lyric. And if you can do that, then I think you've succeeded in singing a good song.
Putting together a holiday album isn't that easy, though, because part of the task is that you need to try and do something that's different a little bit, because there have been so many holiday albums by so many different vocalists.
Yes.
But you want to make something that is your own holiday album.
Yes.
So talk about when you made the decision you want to do a holiday album.
Yeah.
How were you going to make this a Richard Shelton holiday album and make it not the same as everyone else's? Because you've got to cover some traditional holiday songs, obviously, because you want people to look at it and say, it's got stuff I didn't recognize. But you also want to include some things that people are maybe not familiar with that you like.
Yeah.
You want to include songs that you like to sing. So it's not an easy task putting together a holiday album. I know people think, oh, well, putting together a holiday album isn't that hard. You pick all a bunch of Christmas songs. But it's not that easy, because you don't want to put out just you don't want to put just out any holiday album, right?
You don't, but you also have to obey, if you like. You have to pay reverence to the season. So, for example, when the season comes around, I know what I want to hear, and I actually want to hear the traditional songs. I mean, I have a couple of go-to albums. I'm very, very fond of the Mary J. Blige A Merry Christmas album, and she sings some traditional songs. And I love it, because you only get to hear these songs once a year, you see. So when it came to selecting the songs, I thought, I want to perform songs that I want to hear. So a lot of those are the traditional, classical, you know, repertoire. But there's a couple of original songs in there as well. There's a very, very simple lullaby written by a guy called Martin Newell. Martin is a fascinating kind of rock musician stroke poet in the UK. He was in a band called The Cleaners from Venus, which has a cult following. And I think that there's a huge movie star who is a big fan. I forget who it is, who's a movie star in Hollywood who's a big fan. Wherever they perform, he always rocks up. Anyway, there's the beautiful ballad, Christmas Amaryllis.
When they ask of me at this time of year, how was it when we met? I could list the things that it might have been, but the truth is, I forget. It was not the wine, nor the scent of pine, or the sparkle in the air. It was just the fact it was Christmas time, and you happened to be fair. Nor do I recall being around the hall when I heard the doorbell chime, or the twinkly grin when I let you in, or whether at the time, if the room revolved as the snow dissolved and it glistened on your head, it was only that, just that simple fact, that you happened to be there. And how the memories spin, like the spirits through these rooms, as the winter waltzes in, and the amaryllis bloom. Now the days march on like a bright parade, and it comes around again. On a frosty night by the firelight and the flicker of these flames, it was all of this and yet none of this, but I had no words to spare. It was only you, only ever you, 'cause at Christmas you were.
And then there's another beautiful original song called A Christmas Lullaby by Alex Frank. And Alex, sorry, I beg your pardon, Alex Rudd. I get the two Alexes mixed up. Alex Rudd was the BBC Young Composer of the Year, lives in Hollywood now. And he wrote An Englishman in Love in LA, which is another original track I recorded. And I guess that the importance of doing those songs, the originals, is to separate me from Frank Sinatra, do you know? I mean, yeah. Clear blue water between me and him. He's a very important part of my life, but he's not all of my life. You know,
right.
Portraying Sinatra is not everything. It's an important part. And when it comes to the music, it's a relief to sing, certainly original, but songs that maybe you wouldn't associate with him. So it's all part of the very rich tapestry, is the way I look at it.
Open sleigh, o'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to laugh and sing a sleighing song tonight. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Thank you. night is young. Take the sleigh tonight. Join us in this song. Get up off Tail Bay. Get ready for a run. Then hitch him to a sleigh. And then we'll have some fun. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
I'm assuming you came up with a list. How did you narrow it? Is that because I'm sure it was a big list at the beginning of songs.
Not as big as you might imagine. No.
Okay.
I had, so I have a file of Christmas. It's just called Christmas. It's really unprepossessing. Red, really tired, old paper file, and in it lives everything to do with Christmas. I might look orderly, but I'm one of these people who opens a drawer and just shoves it in, but it looks good from the outside. Anyway, my Christmas file in everything goes, and that's songs from shows that I've performed or arrangements, and like I said, you bring them out once a year. Mm-hmm. You know, and some of the jazz charts were literally sketched on kind of back of menus sort of thing. I mean, they were just beer-stained, coffee-stained pieces of paper that you pull out and you go, here, play this, from many, many years on the jazz circuit. So I sort of cleaned them up, tidied them up. Mm-hmm. And actually, it was not as difficult as you might imagine just making a list of, well, here's 12 songs, the 12 days of Christmas, 10 traditional, 2 original, but giving them a different flavor, perhaps.
Right. I was going to ask you about the arrangements.
Yeah.
Were there any new arrangements that you did, or were these ones that you already had? One of the great things about the album is that even though there are a lot of traditional holiday songs on it, it's got a definite feel to the
yeah.
album,
yeah.
And it sounds a little bit different than your traditional holiday album. It's got a very jazz feel to it,
yeah.
And the arrangements are really wonderful.
Yeah,
they're really good.
Thank you.
So, are these? Did you? And it's a very cohesive sound.
Yes,
which is also really important when you're doing an album like this.
Thank you. I'm pleased to hear you say that, actually, because it is a jazz sound, jazz influenced sound. I mean, it goes back to when I was working on the jazz circuit. Predominantly, that's what I did for years. It falls into, you know, they're arranged for traditional piano, bass, drums, and guitar. Mm-hmm. Wonderful players we have on it. We have, just to name check them, we've got Alex Frank. He's the other Alex. Alex Rudd and Alex Frank on bass. We had Jordan Siegel on piano, who's now, I mean, he's now arranging for huge movies. I mean, wonderful, delicate jazz player, piano player. We have Graham Dechter on guitar, who is a genius on the guitar. I think arguably the best jazz guitarist in the world, bar none. He's extraordinary. And Ryan Shaw, who's on drums and playing for everybody from Michael Bublé to Laufey to, well, you just name it. Mm-hmm. He's doing it. So some wonderful musicians. I had an idea of the arrangements before we went into the studio. And we'd worked a Christmas show together a couple of years ago. And then we just said, yeah, let's pick up where we left off. So quite organic, actually. Mm-hmm. The planning wasn't in the planning. It was spontaneous. It was jazz, but it has got a jazz feel about it,
right? But like I said, everything flows perfectly together, and it all sounds like it all. Like I said, it's a very cohesive sound, which makes it a really nice listening experience. Because I, as I tell the listeners all the time, and they get sick of hearing this, I always recommend people sit and listen to an album from beginning to end in one sitting.
Yes.
And this is a perfect kind of album to do this with, because you can, especially when the holidays are around, you want to, you want a collection of holiday albums, especially if you're hosting a cocktail party.
Yes.
Or you're having people over for Christmas dinner or Christmas Eve. You want a collection of holiday albums that you can have playing in the background or whatever, one after the other. And you want it to be a variety of songs, but you want it to have a feel for the journey, musical journey that the person's taking you on. And this one is certainly that kind of, this kind of album.
They're little stories, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, and they're heartwarming stories that remind us of maybe better times in our lives. You know, we all hearken back to perhaps when we were young or children, or we were, you know, life seemed so much gentler in the olden days.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the same for generations. You know, it's the age old story of A Christmas Carol by Dickens, you know. So they're little vignettes, little stories. I mean, even I was a little concerned. There are two tracks that have string arrangements, big orchestral string arrangements. And I was worried about placing those in because, oh, is this going to... Sorry, there are three tracks with strings. I was thinking, oh, is it going to fit? And they do fit. They fit gently in.
Yeah.
You know, there isn't too sharp of a contrast. You
right.
know? It blends. Mm-hmm. So I'm pleased to hear you feel that too. That's great.
I mean, it might have been different if you had like a real big brassy big band sound suddenly come blaring in, and you don't have that.
No.
The orchestral stuff really fits in really, really well.
Yeah.
Are there any songs on the playlist that have any like a special meaning to you that you picked from your childhood or from your past?
That's a good question. I suppose two songs. There's one called A Christmas Medley, which is the Christmas song, you know, the Mel Torme Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire, that one, which segues into Santa Claus is Coming to Town and then segues back out again.
All through the year we've waited, waited through spring and fall, to hear silver bells ringing, hear joy that they're bringing, the happiest season of all. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make your season bright. Tiny little tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh, and every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. You better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list and checking it twice. He's gonna find out who's naughty or nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping, and he knows when you're awake. Knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, you'd better watch out. You'd better not cry. You'd better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. Merry Christmas to you.
That was arranged, oh my word, how many years ago now? 25 years, I mean, a long time ago, by a guy I used to collaborate with, Christian. And we put it, as we say in Britain, we cobbled it together. We literally did. We just sort of, could this work with this? And when we performed it on Radio 2, BBC Radio 2 on Christmas Eve, I remember sitting up with my stepmother, I think it was like midnight or 1 a.m, to hear it. And just piano and me. And it was a thrill to think, wow, this is going across the nation, the world. Because a lot of BBC Radio 2 has a global listenership. So that arrangement has stayed with me ever since. That's special. That holds a nice place in my heart. What's the other one that I would say? I mean, I don't know really. They're all sweet in there. I guess Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow reminds me. Oh dear, this is going to sound a bit of a confession. But when I was a kid as well, back in England, back in the 1960s, long time ago, I used to listen to we had the Ray Conniff.
Oh yeah.
Christmas album.
Yeah.
I was absolutely obsessed with this. And there was a picture on the front with all the men in their little Santa outfits and the girls in their little dresses with the fur trim and all. And as a British kid back then, you know, looking at this, you know, this is American. This is from America. It was amazing, you know. These people singing in an American accent. It was, oh, my God. This is And I remember them singing Let It Snow. And I'd listen to it in July. My mother would shout, Richard, take that off now. Remember, you don't understand.
It's always so funny because everybody always puts their holiday albums away.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, because so many people I know keep their holiday CDs or in the old days, their albums with their Christmas decorations.
Yes.
They keep them in the same box with all their Christmas stuff, their Christmas wrapping paper and their Christmas decorations and it all goes in the same box.
Yes.
Because you can't like listen to them any other time of the year for some reason.
And certainly you'll remember this, I suspect. I definitely do. In my childhood, when Christmas came around and you got the decorations out, they'd smell. You know, they'd smell of like newspaper that used to wrap them up, fusty kind of smell.
Oh, yeah.
Or we used to put Christmas baubles inside egg cartons. Do you remember? I don't know if you did that over here, but...
Yeah, some people did.
Yeah, and wrap them up in paper.
Old newspaper or tissue paper or
and
whatever.
And stick them in the loft or the attic or the cellar or wherever it was. And by the when you got them out, part of the fun was the smell, that nostalgia, you know. It's very powerful stuff.
It evokes a lot of memories for a lot of people.
Mm.
I also wanted to kind of talk about the fact that since it is... One of the nice things, and I think one of the reasons that a lot of artists like to do a holiday album is that they are kind of perennial sellers.
Yeah.
Because it, you know, when you do a regular album, it's sort of like, well, you do a regular album and then people buy it and they listen to it. And then the expectation is you want another album.
Yes.
And so you do another album and it's either, you know, a collection of standards or it's new material or whatever it is, depending on what kind of recording artist you are.
Yeah.
And you do shows, concerts, and you do shows to promote it. But with a holiday album, it becomes, like I said, sort of this perennial annual thing that people listen to every year.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's that every year, I know I'm one of those people who I usually find one or two new holiday albums every year that I will find that I really like that I add to my collection.
Mm.
And I purchase this. If it's a CD, I add the CD to my collection.
Yeah.
Or I sometimes, if I don't necessarily find a new one, I go back and look and find one that I might have missed from previous years.
Yes.
You know, and so that's one of the joys of doing a holiday album is you know that it's an album that people are going to go back to listen to over and over again.
Like an old friend, right?
It is, yeah. It's one of those things, it's like seeing a friend or a relative that you only get to see once a year.
Yes.
And you revisit once a year.
Yes.
What are you hoping, if, you know, when people do purchase the album, what are you hoping that they get from the listening experience with this particular album?
Oh, I think nostalgia. I think if I can take them on a little trip, you know, a little happy moment, you know, I think the thing starts with Winter Wonderland, which is so upbeat. It's so happy. And, you know, you really do get the impression that it's a sleigh ride of a song, you know, it's charming and it sets off the season. You can imagine people in a room drinking eggnog and celebrating, you know, happy to see one another. And then as Christmas sets in on day 2, 3, 4, it turns into something different.
Yes.
But then, you know, to go on another little, you know, Let It Snow is the second track in. And then we start going into Bossa Nova land and then Ballad land. I think the possibility to dream. I mean, when we come to the original song, A Christmas Lullaby, that it's all about, you know, closing your eyes and squinting and seeing the colored lights and letting your, you know, I remember as a child as well looking at a Christmas tree, and I used to squint my eyes so all the lights would be blurred. I mean, now I just take off my glasses, you know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
It's marvelous. But, you know, and just allowing yourself to have that childlike dream for a moment. Stillness.
Go to sleep and dream of Christmas. I will sing a lullaby. Let the sandman blow a little dust into your eye. Jack will frost the window to soften up the light, 'cause the moon must shine for Santa Claus tonight. Go to sleep and dream of Christmas. I will sing a lullaby. Let the snowmen play beneath the chilly winter sky. Fire is gently glowing, and you're tucked up warm and tight. So sleep and dream of Christmas tonight. Before you know it, you will see the secrets underneath the tree. The stars up in the heavens will guide the morning light. So sleep and dream of Christmas tonight. Up in the heavens will guide the morning light. So sleep and dream of Christmas. Go to sleep and dream of Christmas. Reindeer cannot fly until you close your eyes. So dream a dream of Christmas. Good night.
You know, there's a version of Silent Night. And I mean, I'm very, very fond of Frank Sinatra's version of Silent Night because he's a powerful singer. You know, even when he sang softly or gently, there's a power. Now, I didn't want to emulate that. I thought, this is me. This is not Frank. This is not being me being Frank Sinatra. I'm not acting him. I tend to my relationship with him is an actor, not, I don't go around singing like Frank Sinatra. Who wants that? You know, I mean, there's only one Frank Sinatra, you know, why can't try and be better than the best that never was. So it's important to step away from that. And for example, our version of Silent Night is so gentle. It's about that silent night. It's about the essence of why we celebrate Christmas, whatever it means to you or him or her, you know. It's about just being still for a moment, just reflecting. So I think if I can take people on that, just for a moment, especially nowadays, we live in such a complicated world that anything to have a brief escape is vital.
So I know you are doing an album release concert at Vibrato, which is Herb Alpert's club here in Beverly Hills. It's actually literally in the hills of Beverly Hills.
It is, isn't it?
For anybody who has not been to Vibrato or knows of Vibrato. Have you performed at Vibrato?
I can't remember. Yes,
yeah, you have. Okay. Because it's a very special place to perform here in Los Angeles.
It certainly is.
Yes. And that is going to be when? It's going to be right after Thanksgiving, right?
Right after Thanksgiving. So that's the 28th of November. So that's the release. That's the official release date of the album. So bang, it starts the holiday season right on the nail. So yeah, that's where we're performing. Two Christmas shows, two holiday shows, and the album comes out.
You're doing two shows that evening?
Two shows that evening.
Oh, wow.
7:30 and 9:30.
Okay.
Yeah.
And for people who do not know, Vibrato's a restaurant. It's a restaurant club also. Yeah. So you can actually go and have dinner and see the show.
I guess it's like a supper club.
It's like a supper club.
It's a very, very exclusively lovely, sort of friendly. It's not stuffy or anything.
No.
It's a classy joint. You know what I'm saying?
It's sort of like a neighborhood supper club.
Yes.
But the neighborhood just happens to be like Beverly Hills, Bel Air. That's what it is. Yeah. But anybody can go. And I will include a link here on the website so people can purchase tickets.
Oh, no, we'd love to see
if they're in
anybody,
Los Angeles or in Southern California and you want to see Richard.
And if you don't want to sit and have dinner, there's a wonderful bar, big long bar. You can sit at the bar and just drink and, you know.
It's a beautiful venue. Beautiful venue.
It really is.
Yeah. And they get a great lineup of talent.
And it's run by Eden Albert, who is Herb Albert's daughter. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's a great musical legacy.
Right. So we will include that link. And also, where do you want people to go to purchase the album?
So if you go to my website, there's a link there. That's the best place. But you can get it wherever you get your music. You know, the distribution, the digital distribution network. Mm-hmm. I can't believe I'm saying those words.
I know.
You know.
And I always tell people, I know that you can stream.
Yes.
Because I know you've been releasing songs, you're releasing a song every week.
Yes.
And you've also been doing video, like some videos, right?
Oh, yes.
Music videos.
Yes. There's a fabulous video, which as I speak to you, I haven't seen yet, but it's shot in a secret location.
I think you told me, but I won't reveal where it was.
Yeah.
You told me where it was, yes.
It's high up. Let's say that.
It's a very elevated location.
Very, very, very.
Where you had to get special permission to actually film there.
Yes. And we had it's when the cameraman went up there, for example, he was like, oh, God.
Don't give anything too much away.
Okay.
But as I tell people, I know you can stream the album, but that doesn't really put anything but mere pennies in Richard's pocket. So purchase a digital download.
Thank you.
Because that's how people make money.
Yes.
Is when you purchase a digital download. You can afford a digital download. So purchase the entire album and add it to your collection.
There you go.
Which is a good thing. So you want the whole album. What else is happening with you?
So when this is, I'm actually back at...
first off, are you going to do, other than vibrato, are you going to do any more holiday concerts during the holiday season?
No, I've got, I'm in vibrato 28th of November.
Right.
I was supposed to be, there's a chance I'm going back to the UK to promote the record.
Okay.
I'm waiting to hear on a couple of radio slots over there. Then back in vibrato, I don't know how you say the word.
Vibrato.
For New Year's Eve.
Oh, okay. Mm,
which is going to be fun. That's going to be a swinger. So if you fancy swinging into the New Year.
Oh, that'd be fun for New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have any plans for New Year's Eve.
There we go. Then I go back to the UK briefly.
Mm-hmm.
But then you see in the new year, I have another album coming out.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Which is, now this one's been hanging around a while.
Okay.
This, I recorded in Capitol Studios.
Yeah.
And it's nothing, it's inspired by Bill Evans and Tony Bennett.
Uh-huh.
And it's piano and voice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's standards. And it's simply called Standards from Studio B.
Oh.
Capitol. And
when's that coming out?
That's earmarked at the moment for February, March.
Oh.
I've got to get behind it. So I've got to get this one out of the way and get Christmas out of the way. But yeah, that's the next thing.
Then you have to come back and promote that.
That would be great.
Okay. Yes, absolutely.
But that one, I'm really proud of that, actually. It's rare that you, as I find, as a performer, it's rare to listen to something of my work and enjoy it. You're just, all you hear is nothing but.
Exactly. Oh, God. You're a little too self-critical, yes.
Could have done that, should have done that. Yeah. Oh, God. You know, it's hard, I find, to listen. To. But that particular album, The Standards, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pleased with it. I'm thrilled with it.
Uh-huh. So, and didn't you, going back to Sinatra a minute, didn't you, if you want to talk about this on the air, but you said you had some Sinatra-related incident lately?
Oh, another one, yes.
Can you share that?
There are so many, you see. It's this very, I don't know if you're into this serendipity or synchronicity, but I am, and it's like an energy that when you tap into an energy, you see, startling things happen, mm-hmm. you know. I don't question it. I don't think about it too much. I just allow it to flow and reveal. And honestly, so many strange stories, you know, everything from being one of the last people alive inside his last home, from which they took him to die. You know, I happened to be passing the house. I happened to go inside. I literally saw it just as it was being demolished, to owning his tuxedo, which is an exact fit that came into my life, to a letter written to him from Ava Gardner. All of this is forming part of a Sinatra Raw, which we're trying to take to screen. We've done a screenplay version. But just the other day I was, I'd been invited to his home in Palm Springs, Villa Maggio, up in the mountains, not Twin Palms. And, somebody else was in touch and said, well, are you familiar with his home in Tamarisk Golf Club in Palm Springs? That's what I've heard of it. It's called The Compound. There's very few photographs of it anywhere. But this is the place that he invited JFK to. And JFK, John F. Kennedy, ended up not staying with Frank Sinatra because Robert Kennedy, who was the Attorney General, interceded and said it's not fitting for Frank, for the president to stay with Frank Sinatra, who was closely associated with the mob.
Mm-hmm.
So he ended up staying with Bing Crosby, who was a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Kennedy was a Democrat and Sinatra was a Democrat.
And when Sinatra heard this, he took a sledgehammer to the heliport he'd had built, concrete, and smashed it to pieces with his own hands. This is all in the compound. Nobody ever gets to see this. Mm-hmm. But as a result of a show, I was asked along to see this kind of sacred place. And it's not been touched since he lived in it, effectively. It looks a little tired now, I would say. It's time for a refit. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, it's where he lived.
Interesting. Cool.
Yeah. Very cool.
Very interesting.
Walking in these footsteps, you know.
Right.
It's amazing.
Well, it's all part of the history.
There we are.
Yeah. And it's all little pieces that help kind of inform what you're doing.
Very much so.
Which is good.
I guess that in a way, I was listening to things this morning, and it was this debate about method acting versus just acting mm-hmm. spontaneous. And I suppose you might consider these experiences as part of the method. I don't know. I'm not a method actor. Mm-hmm. But I certainly know a lot about the material to then inhabit the man. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Richard, I thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming over in person.
Thank you very much.
To promote your new album. His new album is a holiday album called A Swinging Christmas. And Richard Shelton will be at the Vibrato on November 28th.
Yep.
Two shows.
Yes.
7:30
and 9:30. Yeah.
And I will put a link here on the website so you can get tickets
to
see him. And you also will be there New Year's Eve.
Yes.
You said. So that's good. Maybe I will be there on New Year's Eve myself.
Fabulous.
That would be wonderful fun. And I'm thrilled that you've got another album coming out next year.
Yeah.
Which sounds really good.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that one as well. So you'll be back to do that.
Thank you.
Anyway, congratulations on the fantastic holiday album. I highly recommend it. And remember, purchase the download. Do not just stream. Please purchase the download.
Please.
Yes.
I have to buy a turkey for Christmas.
Yes,
so I know.
Exactly.
I need the pennies.
Exactly. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you very much.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. Since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I hate going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. And the fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbying. As long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Good night. How I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. And the fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbying. As long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.